I'm going to be talking about today arsenite desorption, and it's a part, I'm going to present today a small part of the research I conducted at Stanford University during my sabbatical time there. And then we worked there with arsenite desorption from synthetic goethite, trying to have this desorption by resins, so we call competitive adsorbents. And this part of the work, it was with Scott Fendorf and Yoko Slowey. The presentation contents, it's going to be like introduction, the motivation for the study, materials and methods, a small part of the results, and sort of a preliminary conclusions we have. And then for the introduction, the arsenic toxicity in biological system, it's established, and if we want to advance in terms of the understanding of the adsorption-desorption phenomena, for sure in mineral surfaces, is that's very important. It's almost mandatory to predict the arsenic behavior in many important soil water systems, and that's around the world. We have problems with arsenic in some parts of Brazil, and it's important for us to understand a little better the behavior of arsenic. And if we go into the literature, we see that there are several papers, and these papers are studying mainly the adsorption of arsenic. There's no doubt that we have a lot of papers. And either in synthetic minerals or natural soils, in general, it's attributed to the iron oxides, the major influence on this adsorption. But the desorption of arsenate, specifically arsenate, arsenic in general, but arsenate, it's not well studied. We see a lot of papers talking about adsorption, but not really a lot talking about desorption. And most of the studies about desorption, we see the desorption as studied mainly as competition against other anions. Basically, phosphate, we see a lot of competition trying to see how the arsenate is desorbed. And that was the motivation to try to study the kinetics of arsenate desorption, but induced by anion exchange resin, or this ligand exchange. And then we used a synthetic goethite. It was prepared, and it was prepared like the traditional way by the classic Schwertman-Cornell book of preparing iron oxides for laboratory studies. And we used XRD, the Rietveld method, to refine the structure and to see if we had produced only goethite. The XRD data was obtained in a Rigaco using a cobalt tube with a graphite crystal monochromator in the diffracted beam, and it was operated at a differential of potential of 40 kilovolts and 30 milliamperes. The scans were fit with Rietica. It's a computer program from Australia for the Rietveld analysis. The resin we used was a strong anion exchanger, the Amber Light, ERA-400. It's a pale yellow translucent beads. The functional group is quaternary ammonium, and the total exchange capacity is equal or greater than 1.40 milliequivalent per milliliter. The experiments were performed in a solution of 20 millimolar sodium acetate, buffer at pH 5, and also as background electrolyte solution. We prepared 4 reactors. We added 10 grams per liter for the gethite solution. We had it under constant steering, and the gethite was allowed to equilibrate for 24 hours before we added the resins. And the concentration of arsenic was equivalent to 0.25, 0.50, 0.75, and 1 of the arsenate maximum adsorption capacity. Just to give an idea, I got it from the internet, these figures, just to say, to show that. We made first a solution. We put first the gethite, constant stirrer, by the magnetic stirrer, constant steering. After 24 hours, we got the first sample to analyze. After that, we put the resin, and then we had the samples taken after that. So after the equilibration, one sample was taken for determination of the arsenic in solution, and 20 grams of resin, the amberlite, was added to the reactor and allowed to react with the gethite suspension. Then at times 1, 3, up to 700 and 7,200, 7,200 minutes, we sampled and collected arsenic in solution and measured arsenic in solution and arsenic adsorbed by the resin. It was like 6 days. So for the results, the phase purity, as I said, was analyzed by the Rietveld, and we could see a very good agreement, the very, very, very good parameters for the Rietveld refinement. And we have like the dots are the observed pattern, the red line, the calculated pattern, and this green line in this lower part, we have the difference line showing that we have basically gethite. All the reflections, all the peaks can be matched very nicely to the calculated pattern, very little difference in some peaks, and showing that we have only gethite and we don't have any spurious phase in the material we prepared. We calculated the maximum adsorption capacity for arsenate, and we got in the synthetic gethite 0.103 millimol per gram. In the resin, in the amberlite, we got 1.667 millimol per gram, meaning that we have like 15 times higher the adsorption for arsenate for the resin, what could make it a good exchanger. And so the concentration of arsenic was measured. I'm going to present just the concentration of arsenic. That's what I could work up to now. And we could see that it decreased in an exponential fashion. And we have something like that. Here we have the first sample, meaning that the arsenic in solution before the resin was added. And after that, we had, like for each of the reactors, we have a decrease in the concentration, meaning that the resin was extracting, was getting the arsenic from the solution, and for sure from the surface of the gethite. And we could see that it follows pretty much an exponential decrease. I still have to try to fit a kind of a model. And we could see at this scale that there was no difference in terms of reaction 1, 2, and 3. That's reactor 4, where we had the maximum surface coverage. Taking only the reactor 4, we can see easily that the first amount was high in terms of how much gethite was in solution, and it decreased almost exponentially. But when we changed the scale for the reactions 1, 2, and 3, we can see that reaction 3 follows exactly the same pattern, meaning that we have the same behavior in terms of the 75% surface coverage of the maximum adsorption. And we can see that reactors 1 and 2, again, they are like almost linear in terms of the amount of arsenic in solution, meaning that almost anything was extracted from the the resin. And then we have our preliminary conclusions. We have to still analyze the data that we got from the arsenic in the resin. I'm working on that. The arsenic that was in the surface of the gethite, because we dissolved the gethite to measure the iron and the arsenic, and like the preliminary conclusions are that at low gethite surface, 25 and 50% of the maximum adsorption capacity for arsenic, there is no significant desorption of the arsenic induced by the resin. At medium surface coverage, I call it like the 75 medium surface coverage, the resin starts to desorb some arsenic, and at high surface coverage, the 100% maximum adsorption capacity, the desorption is more significant. But as like a conclusion that puts all of these together, we could see that the arsenic is not easily desorbed from the gethite surface. That's one point, because I was expecting that using a resin with 15 times more power of adsorption and twice as much of the resin, 20 grams for 10 grams of gethite, it would easily get the arsenic out of the gethite, but it was not what is showing like in this first data. The point is that the gethite is almost irreversibly getting the arsenic in its surface. Okay, thank you.
Time for a question?
Yes. Like you used only 1 dose of the resin. Have you, can you try different doses of resin, increase the amount to 5 times, 10 times?
Yes, yes. I did not do it in this experiment, but yeah, it could be something to be tried. Yeah. Yes, John.
So how do you know just by measuring the solution that you're not getting desorption? I guess I didn't quite. Is it possible you're still getting desorption, but the solution phase concentration remains low?
Yes. Yeah, in this first, I like in an indirect way, I am thinking in terms of the desorption, because if we have equilibrium, we are going to have a given amount of arsenic in solution. And in fact, we did not put exactly the maximum adsorption capacity, but a little more, looking at the curve for the Langmuir curve, and we put a little more to make this in equilibrium. And if the arsenic is taken out by the resin, the equilibrium is going to get back in terms of some of the surface coverage is going to go to solution. That's what I concluded, because if you have equilibrium, take out the amount that is in solution, the equilibrium is going to be back again. And we could see it easily that the equilibrium what would go back a little lower in terms of the amounting solution in reactors 3 and 4. but not in reactor 1 and 2. In fact, it could, like the resin could have adsorbed some, but not enough to change the equilibrium state. And so in an indirect way, I thought in terms of reactors 3 and 4, no doubt for desorption, and 1 and 2, not sure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have to move on.